chant that song. That was one of the songs that the Lord gave me when I... Well, that was the song He gave me when we moved to Dallas and going through some of the trials that we went through. Let us know that He's not going to forsake us in the midst of us. And I can testify of a certainty that He has not forsaken me. And I thank the Lord for it. We'd like for you to turn with us to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. And we want to start reading at the first verse. We've addressed this subject in times past, but we feel like the Lord inspired us to do it today. And so we'd like for you to start reading at the first verse and read down to the fifth verse, if you will. Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Keep, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of Him that quieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. This is what we want to talk about today. The voice of Him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now the voice of Him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And the thought that the Lord brought to me in meditating upon this passage was preparing the way for the Lord. And do you realize that we've dealt with the fact that we have to prepare our lives for the blessings that the Lord would like to bestow upon us? So here we have here, this is a wilderness, crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. It would seem like that God can do anything. And I know that He can, and I know that there is nothing too hard for God. Not only is there nothing too hard for God, there is nothing hard for God. We take that into consideration. That's puts us on a whole different plane. No matter how difficult it may be for a humankind, no matter how it may be just completely impossible, it's not even hard for God. What we have to understand and realize, what prevents God from doing what He wants to do is the people that He's trying to do it for. The Lord can do anything for us if we have the faith to believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. It is not even hard for Him. Not let alone too hard for Him. It's not even difficult for Him. So what we have to do is prepare our hearts. Lord, I want my heart prepared to receive what it is that You want to give to me, Lord. I need You. And what we're praying for is not, Lord, that You will do this thing, but Lord, that You will prepare me so I can believe that You can do it for me. And so He says, a voice of Him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So we realize that there needs to be a way that the Lord can do this in my life, in the lives of every other person that we are praying for. Do you realize, we've said this before, that every one of us are here because of the prayers of someone else. Our hearts were prepared because somebody was praying for us. Lord, have mercy on this person. They don't understand. Maybe they're going in sin and they're going deeper and deeper in sin, but we are praying for them. And Lord, we believe that You're going to bring them back. And you know what the Lord began to do through the trials and the tests in our lives? The Lord began to bring us to a place that my heart was prepared to receive the salvation of the Lord. Do you realize that every one of us are making decisions and choices right now as we speak of whether or not we're going to yield ourselves more to the Lord and whether or not we're going to reserve just a little bit to ourselves? And we have the right to reserve to ourselves, but it's not a good thing for us to do. May the Lord help you and I to understand that we need to pray that our hearts are prepared. And not only do we need to pray for our own hearts to be prepared to receive the blessing of the Lord, we need to pray for other people's hearts to be prepared to receive the blessing of the Lord. So, I thought of it like this. When we take into consideration, you probably heard when we were in school how they made the highways and how all these roads were constructed and whatnot. Basically, the first highways were made from trails that somebody, maybe the animals, the buffalo and whatnot, they realized that there was a straight way from here to the river or whatever it would be. And men began to follow these paths. And as they followed the path, they realized that we need to make it a little bit bigger. And they made it bigger and bigger. And now what we have is in the wilderness. This came through the wilderness. They prepared a way for us to be able to go. You understand what I'm saying? Now, in the same way, spiritually speaking, we have seen what other people have done in their spiritual lives. And we've watched their lives. We've watched the lives of older saints. We've watched the lives of people that are successful and making spiritual progress. And we've seen the way that they've gone. And we realize, Lord, if they can do it by the grace of God, I can too. And I'm going to do whatever it takes because I've got to prepare my heart. How did the old folks get so spiritual? How were they able to raise the dead? How were they able to trust the Lord for the healing of their bodies? How were they able to do all the things that it seems like is just beyond our reach? They prepared their heart for it. While everything around them was going in other directions, they prepared their heart. I want the grace and the power of God in my life, and they prepared themselves for it. Saints, we have to prepare ourselves as well. Help us to do it, Lord. All right, every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and every hill shall be made low. Now, you know, in essence, what this is talking about is, in one sense, it's talking about, let's just deal with the mountain. Mountain, that represents a mountain, that's a valley, and there's another mountain. So here's a valley that we have here, right? And I've been in some places. One of the places that I've gone is when we were in Switzerland. I'd not seen it quite like I'd seen it anywhere else. I've seen it there. They have where the road is just basically smooth. So you have a very steep mountain. And what they do is a valley, and they actually build a bridge up. And it may be several, it seems like it's like, you think High Five is high? It's much higher than that. And to bring everything up to a certain level where it's all one level, right? And you know that took some effort for them to do that. And then you see that they tunnel through a mountain. You might go through a mountain for a mile. And in essence, what they wanted to do was keep the road as smooth and as level as possible. Well, in the same way, I believe the Lord helps us in things where there are things that are low. The Lord exalts that every valley shall be exalted. So that the way of salvation, and in one sense, I know that it's talking about people, the people that feel lowly and whatnot, and people that are high-minded, all these things shall be even. The Lord wants us, the way that He takes us, He's going to take us the straightest, most level, and smoothest way that He can possibly take us to get us to heaven. And we have to understand that, we have to believe that, we have to believe, Lord, I know that the trials that I'm going through now are not unnecessary. No matter how unnecessary, have you ever been through a trial that you felt in your mind, Lord, why do I need to go through this? Why do I need this? We learned a little bit in our Sunday school lesson this morning. He said, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. The Lord knows what you need. Sometimes we think we know what we need, and we find out when we pursue those things that we think we know what we need, we didn't need it after all, did we? But the Lord knows, you know, how many of us, if we had a choice to accept suffering, Lord, I have a choice between suffering and not suffering, what would we do? 9 times out of 10, we would choose, unless we know something that's far beyond us, unless we know something, we're going to choose not to suffer, aren't we? But the Lord says, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. What is He doing? He's trying our faith, isn't He? Yeah. Lord, help us. All right, I want to go to Luke, the 3rd chapter. And I want us to read, start at the 2nd verse. Pray for us.
Luke 3:2.
Yes.
Anna.
Yes.
And
yes.
Being the high priest.
Yes.
The word of God came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness.
Yes. He's preaching the baptism of repentance
for the remission of sins.
As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make His path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain shall be and heel shall be brought low, and the crooked places crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. So this is something that is a level playing field, in essence, that the Lord is going to bring about. He's going to exalt the valleys. He's going to lower the mountains. The crooked places that seem like they're just too crooked for us to go through, He's going to smooth those out. So that this is preparation. Preparation for the hearts of men. Preparation to receive the glory of God. Preparation to receive the salvation of the Lord and the blessings that the Lord wants you and I to receive from Him. The Lord has a way of smoothing and leveling everything out that we need. What we must do is trust the Lord. Lord, give me what I must have in order to trust you to be able to do to accept these things that you are showing me. And I want to say this, and I want to bring out a point that it's not necessarily easy when we begin to pray, is it? Have you ever heard about laboring in prayer? Do you realize, I believe that this is what I'm going to call, for the sake of this lesson, Emmanuel labor. You know, most of us don't like manual labor. You know what that is. That going out and digging a ditch with a shovel and going out, and we try to find things that makes it a lot easier for us to do whatever we need to do. We try to find a way to make it easy. And there are equipment that we can get. And one of the things that I'm learning is I'm doing a little bit of work around the house and whatnot. If you have the right equipment, it makes your job a lot easier. And it goes a lot faster. And I understand. I never have been one that always bought certain equipment and all this. But some of the things that I've done, I realized it would be much easier if you had the right equipment. And I understand why women go out and buy certain things for their kitchen, and certain men go out and buy all this equipment, because it's labor intensive and it makes it easier, right? So that's just our natural tendency, is to find an easy way to do a particular thing. Now, I say manual labor is labor that is going to take those men that are out there working on the highways to make these highways, cutting down the trees, cutting through the mountains. That's hard work. Out in the sun, out in the rain, out in the snow, out in the elements, these men are working hard. When they come home, they're tired, aren't they? Yeah. All right, that's manual labor. And in order for them to build High Five, in order for them to build these roads and make it all level, somebody has to put forth a lot of effort in the construction and preparing the way for the highway to be laid down, don't they? Somebody has to do it. And it is not an easy job. If you're afraid of bending your back and actually doing something and picking up heavy load, that is not for you to go and try to get a job on a construction site building a road. But when it's necessary for us, every one of us came in on a smooth highway today, didn't we? And when there's potholes and when there's areas that in a road that we don't like, what do? We talk about them, number one, don't we? Well, they need to fix these potholes. And then we go a different direction where it's smoother. It may be a little bit out of the way, but we go on the smooth route. I know we do, don't we? Because we don't want to be mad. We don't want to knock out the alignment in our car, and we're tired of just coming down this bumpy road, so we don't go down it anymore. Well, but that's because somebody has not maintained it. So, but somebody has prepared the way for us to get here with ease, haven't they? And it took some labor to do it. Some hard work to do it. Well, spiritually speaking, it's going to take some hard work for us to get some of the things that we're asking. For the Lord to do what He needs to do in the life of the person that you're praying for, there is going to have to be some what I call, not manual labor, but Emmanuel labor. Now, what does Emmanuel mean? Let's read, what's that mean? What's the scripture say? Let's go to Matthew 1:23. And someone get us 2 Corinthians 6:1. Virgin shall be with child. Shall bring forth the son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. Being interpreted is God with us. All right, that's good enough. I want to bring out the point You know what I'm talking about when I say that we need the Lord with us, number one, and it's not going to be easy necessarily for us to be able to pray some of these things through. But saints, you know, we had a lot of prayer warriors back in the day, didn't we? They're dying off. The people that have borne the burdens and whatnot, they're dying off. Now, who is going to do it? Who's going to pray, Lord, would you prepare the way for folks to be saved? What's the old song say? We used to fast and pray all day and ask the Lord to have His way. What is the rest of it? Back there on our Father's praying ground. Lord, help us to go back. Let us go back to our Father's praying ground. What is that? Why do we need to do that? Because that's preparing the way for souls to be saved. And if we don't pray for them, if we don't pray and remove the obstacles and the boulders and move all of the big rocks and whatever it is that the enemy has in their way, if we don't pray it out of the way, who's going to do it for them? Who's going to do it? Are they able to come to the Lord just on their own? I know the Lord is going to speak to them and the Lord's going to talk to them. But how many times have you gone through situations and problems in your life and you needed somebody to help you move this big rock out of the way because I can't do it by myself? I need the way prepared because it seems like it's so hard, seems like it's so difficult. So you call up somebody that you have confidence in their lives and you have confidence that they can get a hold of the Lord, and the two of you begin to move this boulder, these things, these obstacles out of the way. You're preparing the way that the Lord can do what you're asking Him to do, what you're needing Him to do. You have a job to do. Those men have a job to do. We have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to pay our taxes, isn't it? When we pay our taxes, that gives money for the roads to be built. May the Lord help us to realize that there's going to be something that we're going to have to do, spiritually speaking, in order for the Lord to save some of these souls that we are praying for. Lord, help us. All right? 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1.
We then,
workers together with Him, beseech ye also, yes? All right. Workers, what I want to bring out is that we're working together with God. We're not doing this by ourselves. God has an ability to do things that we cannot do. But you know, I think about the big, have you seen these big construction tractors, caterpillars and whatnot? They're huge. I've seen some that are just huge. We all seen them, haven't we? And do you know what's back there operating it? A little man. Is moving the levers and he is controlling. I want you to understand what I'm saying. He is controlling the power of that machine. And he's 100, 200 pounds, 250 pounds, 150 pounds. He can be just a little, 125 pounds. He can be a 125 pound man if he knows how to work it. I have a nephew that can work that equipment and he can work it well. And he probably weighs 135 pounds. 4'2". Not much of an exaggeration, if it is one at all. But a little man like that can move it. And you know what that tells us? Tells me that he can prepare, a man that is 150 pounds can prepare the way by using the power that is in the machine. And he knows just how to grade it and what to do and all of that in the same way. Do you realize that we have to accessible to us the power of the Almighty God? And on our knees, we can move the throne of heaven and we can move situations in our lives and situations in other people's lives. And who's doing it? A little old man, a little old woman that's behind, if I can use this word and you understand me, I say it with respect, behind the controls that God has made available to you and I, preparing the way of the Lord. We have all the power at our disposal, all the power of this little Bible in our hand, and we can move heaven and earth with it. We can call down the power of God and ask the Lord in the lives, our own lives, Lord, I'm dealing with some things that I need You to help me with, Lord. I need this. And you know, the Lord, if I can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the Lord comes, and the Lord gives to me
the keys to the kingdom, and I can start, if you will, I can start the machine, and I can begin to work the controls that the Lord has made available to me to move these things out of my way, to move these mountains. To tunnel through them. To begin to build the piers to where all these things that are difficult, I was able to go down, but I can't get back up. The Lord has the power to do that. Lord, help us.
All right. I want to go back to Luke, the first chapter, and I want to read the 13th verse, starting at the 13th verse. Luke 1, verse 13. Angel said unto him,
Fear not, Zacharias.
Thy prayer is heard.
Thy wife Elizabeth
shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's what he was doing. That was his job. John's job was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. One of the things that I've seen the Lord do, and the Lord tends to do it for all of us, and I believe when you go into the children of Israel, and you go into the Old Testament and you begin to read some of the things that took place there, and how the children of Israel were in Egypt, and the Lord took them not the shortest distance, but he took them through the wilderness and then in order to get them to the land of Canaan. And I believe the Lord takes us all through a place of preparation. He was preparing us, preparing them. The wilderness was supposed to be a place of preparation for them to go and fight the giant. They failed in the midst of it. And so the Lord has a way of taking us through transitional places in our experience, transitional places before we ever face the giant. And this is what I believe he did with John. He realized that they were going from the Old Testament and how the Mosaic law and whatnot, and now they were coming to Christ. They weren't going to be able to just embrace it and wrap their minds around something that is so different than what they had been taught. Not different, but that was... How do I say this? It was different than what they had known before. And so John was, you might say, the transitional person that the Lord used to begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to preach the gospel of the message of repentance. That was John's job. And John could answer some questions, and John could deal with the folks, and the folks knew that when they repented, when some of them began to repent, a change took place in their life, and that prepared the way for Christ to come and to begin to preach the kingdom of heaven. So John was transitional, and sometimes the Lord puts people in transitional places. Sometimes we become the Johns in other people's lives that may not have heard of salvation and what it means to live a holy and a righteous life. And we are the John that the Lord has put there. And the folks never knew that you could live a holy and a righteous life. They didn't know you could live free from sin. That's not what they heard. They heard the old Mosaic law. And now, on your workplace, the Lord has put you there. And in just dropping a word and a little devotion or in a conversation, you say, you know what, you can live a holy and a righteous life before God. And then they watch your life. They watch you. And they say, you know, I think they might be right. And so that transition from the old Mosaic law that a great majority of churches are preaching today to the great gospel of salvation and liberty and freedom from sin, now you are the John that's preaching, crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. Now they may be able to receive it a little easier. You understand what I'm saying? All right. A few points I want to bring out here. He says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. I think this is a wonderful word that the angel spoke. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord.
But when you saw John, and you go down and you get a description of John the Baptist, and he was in the wilderness eating locusts and wild honey, that doesn't seem like such a great man, does it? And camel's hair for clothing.
In the eyes of the people, he wasn't much, was he? He wasn't anything to be impressed about in the eyes of the people. But in the eyes of God, he was a great man. People may not think that you're all that when it comes to the things in the world. But the whole point is that you want to be great in the eyes of the Lord. That's all that matters. It does not matter if they talked about John, didn't they? It doesn't matter that they talk about you. It doesn't matter that they think you're a little weird because of the way you dress. They thought John was weird because of the way he dressed. They may think you're a little weird because you don't drink and don't eat certain things, don't do certain things that they do. John didn't do certain things that they did either. But John was great. This is coming from the mouth of an angel. John was great in the sight of the Lord. And so you know what? You and I need to be great in whose sight? Stop trying to make everybody like you. It's not going to happen. Don't even try. Do what you know that God is pleased with in your life. And when you're doing that, you're great in the sight of God. And that's good enough. Isn't it good enough? You don't have to be great in the sight of men. Most of us, if any of us, will probably never be great in the sight of men. But every one of us can be great in the sight of God. All right? And let's see. Another point I wanted to bring up. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Now, you know, I think that these are some important points, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you know you cannot go through the trials that you like you need to unless you're filled with the Holy Ghost, unless you give yourself to the Holy Ghost? Unless he possesses you. Do you know that that gives you the power and the authority in some... You know why people in some of these places... You know why some people have struggles in their lives? It's because they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. They have not completely yielded themselves. They haven't been sanctified. But saints, it's not just a trite thing to seek for a second work of grace if the Lord will sanctify you and fill you with the Spirit of the Lord. You need it. We're living in perilous times, terrible times. You need the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. You can't do it by yourself. You need the Lord to help you. All right? So those are the points that I want to bring out. Let's go to Nehemiah 4, verse 6. Have it read it for us. Yes. Yes. All the wall was joined together. This is Nehemiah. You know the story, don't you? People had a mind to work. Now, again, we're talking about this is going to take some effort. We say, how did the old people do it? How did they get the authority that they needed? But they were willing to work at it. You know what? We have, in our generation, we've been accustomed to getting everything a little easy. None of us have to go through a depression. We thought the recession was bad enough, didn't we? And the near recession, we thought that was bad enough. But we didn't have to go through what those old folks had to go through. And you know what? They learned something. They learned a heart. They learned a consistency in those things temporally. But they also learned something spiritually. Lord, help us that we can learn it spiritually. All right? Read. They had a mind to work. Sembalan and Tobiah. Yes. Breaches were stopped.
They were very raw.
They were very raw. They conspired all of them together. They were going to come and they were going to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Now, do you know what? When there is a place of progress that the Lord's people is making, do you know the devil is going to have some adversary there to fight you? Saints, expect it. That's what they did. They expected it. All right, read.
Nevertheless,
we prayed. We began to pray. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and we set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, and we are not able to build the wall. Our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them and cause the work to cease.
Do you realize that anywhere that there is a successful work being done for God, the devil has a, what's the word? He has a strategy,
a plan to make it stop.
He's going to stop it any way that he can. He'll talk about the folks that are Nehemiah. He'll talk about the Nehemiahs that's trying to build the wall. He'll talk about the folks. He'll send, trying to disillusion the people. The devil has done it many, many times. Saints, we can't allow him to disillusion us. We cannot allow him to make us stop the work of God. This is the most important thing that we're doing. We don't have much longer, do we? And we've got to make certain that we do what God has created us to do. So here we have here, and he says here, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish. So here is a wall that the whole wall is torn down. Before they can actually rebuild the wall, they've got to remove the obstacles and all the things that are on the foundation of the wall and all the things that needs to be taken away. They need to clear that up. And then they need to start building the wall. Some of us just want to see the end product. We want to see how it's going to look, but we don't want to do the work in order to get it to the end product. Do you realize that what we have to do, spiritually speaking, Lord, help me to be willing to bear the burdens. Help me to be willing to bear some burden, not just for me. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed with our burdens, don't we? Sometimes it just seems like it's just too much, and we can't bear somebody else's burden. Saints, let us get into a place, spiritually speaking, that we can bear our own burdens and have something left over to bear somebody else's. Because what we do, if we're not careful, we'll put the burden on two or three folks and expect them to pray everything through, and we just kind of twiddle our thumbs and pray and have a pity party about all the bad things that happen to us. Let me tell you, when you're fighting, you can't have pity on what the devil is doing. You're fighting the devil. You're laboring in prayer. Lord, remove this obstacle. Remove the rubbish. Remove all the things that are affecting these people and the way that they see things. Lord, have mercy. Saints, we must be a praying people. We must be. Lord, teach us how to do it. Teach us how to pray more effectually. Teach us how to work more effectively, Lord.
And then I think we'll see some things move in the church. We can't expect people just to give to us all the time. We can't expect somebody to bear our burdens all the time just for us. And we're always needing somebody to bear our burdens, because we can't bear them ourselves. Are you sick spiritually? Are you spiritually sick? Is there a reason that you can't? Do you know what the scripture says? It says, let's go to Galatians 6, verse 2. I want you to read that. Galatians 6 and 2. Bear you one another's burden. So it's good for me. It's good for you. It's nothing wrong with us coming on a Wednesday night prayer service and on a Sunday morning. The reason we make our requests made known one to another is because we want you to pray for it. I've got a request, church, saints, congregation, would you pray for my brother, my sister, myself, whatever the situation may be. I want you to get up under the burden when you go home. I want you to pray for it. As the Lord brings it to your mind in the middle of the night, as you're driving down the road, I want you to pray for the things that the Lord has brought to you, that I have made requests made known to. That's why we do it. Because we need to bear one another's burdens. All right? Read.
So fulfill the law of Christ.
So you're fulfilling the law when you bear one another's burdens. So there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you calling somebody up and saying, listen, I'm in a battle. I've got a burden, and I need you to get up under it and help me push it through. You know, I remember when I was much younger. You can call my mom, you can call my aunt, you can call them Mary. I call five or six people that could bear your burden for you. You know, you can kind of take off your jacket and rest, because you know that they were going to pray it through. Even if you didn't say a word in prayer, they were going to pray it through. You gave it to them, and they were always, we were always calling the same people. Lord, help us. I'm talking about me too. They're gone now. They're gone. Which means there needs to be somebody else that steps in and bear those burdens. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decaying. Because if we're not careful, we'll put all of it on a few people. and have them to carry the whole weight of the whole church. We can't do it. You have a job. All right? So bear ye one another's burdens. Nothing wrong with that. We want to keep it balanced. Read.
For
he thinks himself to be something.
When he is nothing,
he deceives himself.
Let every man prove his own work.
And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone,
and not in another.
Oh, did you hear that one? For every man shall bear his own burden. So the only reason that you call someone else is that you're bearing the burden and it's too heavy for you to bear. Saints, sometimes the burdens get too heavy for you to bear alone. It is nothing wrong with calling somebody else. But you be found bearing your own burdens. Alright? So, I want to bring out this point. Progress could not be made. It can only be made because, number one, back to Nehemiah, the people had a mind to work. And we talked this morning in our Sunday school lesson about having the mind to suffer. Christ had to suffer in the flesh. Arm yourselves with the same mind. We have to have the mind to suffer. We have to have the mind to work. We have to have the mind to work out of our own salvation. Our own salvation. And not when we're working out our own salvation, then we can see how difficult maybe some of the places that we have struggled, maybe some of the places that we want a greater level of victory, and it's our responsibility to pray that thing through so that the Lord can give us, prepare the way for the Lord to give us the blessing that we are desiring. And we do that by prayer. It's not a bumpy way, and it seems like that's because something hasn't been prepared. All the crooked places need to be made straight. All the rough places plain. That's because, and when we find that we're on a road that seems like it's bumpy and we're not going to be able to make it, we need to pull over to the side and start praying, Lord, prepare the way that you can make the highway, make it plain, Lord. You can do it where I can get through this thing. And the Lord just brings it about and he comes and paves over top of it and it's just smooth and we can have to have smooth sailing. We don't have to fight and bump and run in ditches and all this kind of, we don't have to do that. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Stop. Take some time to pray. As I've said many, many times, saints, friends, pray every day. Yeah. What does the little song say? Read your Bible and pray every day. Then you'll grow, grow, grow. You know, it seems so simple, but folks don't do it. You don't have time to pray because I'm running late for work. Well, you should have got up sooner. Pray. Prepare the way, Lord. Prepare whatever it is that I'm going to face today. Prepare the way before me, Lord. And if you do that, the Lord will prepare that way. You're going to face some obstacles. You're going to face some things that you need the Lord to exalt some areas and make low some areas and take the roughness out of certain things. Pray that the Lord prepares the way. Lord, help us. All right? Moving toward our conclusion. Isaiah 62, verse 10. Yes.
Go through the gates.
Prepare ye the way of the people.
Cast up the highways.
Gather out the stones.
Lift up a standard
for the people. Everything that's going to hinder, throw it out. Cast up the stone. Get the way prepared. Everything that's going to prevent you from going in the direction that the Lord wants you to go. Everything that's going to prevent a smooth sailing, so to speak. Cast it up. Cast out the stones, all right?
Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world.
All right. That might be good enough. That's verse 11?
Verse 10.
Oh, okay, keep reading 10 and 11.
Say ye to the daughter of Zion,
Behold,
thy salvation cometh.
Behold,
his reward is with him,
and his work before him. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people.
Saints, let me say something to us. Lift up a standard. Now, this is talking about an ensign, something for folks to rally to. Do you realize that there is a standard of holiness? It's not the way folks are doing it nowadays. Folks are wanting to, anything goes. You know, there is something that the Lord is pleased. There are things that the Lord is pleased with, and there are things that the Lord is not pleased with. And when I have an understanding, the Lord allows a lot to go on. It may not be His perfect will, but He allows it to go on because folks don't have understanding. They don't have understanding that this is not perfectly pleasing in the sight of God. And if they don't have that understanding, that's between them and the Lord. But you, we must live a life that we can have something that the folks can rally to, that there is a standard of holiness. There's a standard of the way the Lord wants you to live. The Lord wants me to live. Not cutting corners. Not getting by. Not allowing whatever to go. Whatever will be, will be. The Lord has a standard for His people, and we have to live up to that standard. Lord, help us. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't let the world tell you that you got to go back in your little turtle shell because nobody likes what you're doing. No, you lift up a standard for the people, for them to rally to, and when they see that you can do it. And let me tell you, when we start telling our history to people are shocked that we went through the same thing they're going through. For some reason, they think that we're supermen and superwomen because we're saved. No, you know what we did? We just gave ourselves to the Lord, and the Lord began to deal with us. And as He dealt with us, we made one choice after another, that the way the Lord wanted us to go. And before you know it, we're where we are now. We weren't always here. There were places that we had to get down and we had to pray, and we had struggles and problems and issues, but we began to say, Lord, there are some rough places in my life and I need You to smooth them out. I need You to make them plain, Lord. I need You to prepare the way that I can do what Your perfect will is in my life. And the Lord began to do that in our lives, and we made one little step at a time, one little decision at a time. Before you know it, we're where we are. With no regrets. But let me tell you what we don't do. We don't look at all the trees and say, how in the world am I going to get through all of this? It's just overwhelming. We can't do it. I can't do it. No, we begin to pray. And do you know what? The Lord moves this stone out of the way. And then we pray some more, and the Lord casts that stone out of the way. And then we pray some more, and before we know it, we've got a little smooth path. It's not very far, but it's farther than it was. And the Lord, we've begun to pray that the Lord prepares the way. Saints, that's what we've got to do for ourselves, number one, and for those folks that we love and those folks that we don't even know to love. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that? People out in the world, we have to pray for them. Sometimes, do you ever just drive down the highway and start praying for people? Lord, have mercy on this person. Lord, I don't know what the condition of that person is. Help this little boy to live for You when he grows up. Do you ever do that? You should. Just praying for random people, and you don't know who they are, don't know if you'll ever meet them. It doesn't even matter. Do you ever pray for it when you go on the computer, just start praying for folks, them celebrities who think they're all that because somebody know your name? Do you pray for them? Do you pray that the Lord brings somebody in their path? I'll probably never meet them, but Lord, would You bring somebody in their path that they'll know, that they'll tell them about You some kind of a way? This is preparing the way. Saints, prepare you the way of the Lord. Make straight His path. I want to encourage you, whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever it is that you're going through, pray that the Lord prepares the way. I thought about one incident in Scripture. You know the Garden of Gethsemane? The Lord prayed and prepared Himself for that cross. And had He not done that, do you suppose He would have called 10,000 angels? I think the Lord knew where He was. And I think that He realized that He had to labor in prayer in order to get to that place that He knew that He could stay on that cross when He had the power to come down. It's something altogether different. Those two thieves didn't have the power to come down. He did. And He had to submit that power to come down off that cross. He had to submit it to the Lord and prepare Himself for it right there in the Garden of Gethsemane before He ever went to that cross. And sometimes you and I have to pray right in our personal Garden of Gethsemane, prepare the way, Lord, because if I don't, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. And the Lord saying, no, I don't want you to do that. And saints, let me tell you something. Jesus prayed. And when He prayed, His sweat ran down like drops of blood, as it were, great drops of blood. That's laboring in prayer. He had the weight of the whole world on His shoulders. We don't have that much weight, but we have just a little bit that we have to suffer with the Lord. And what the Lord wants us to do, to be willing to bear these burdens, be willing to pray, be willing to labor in prayer, preparing the way. Pray for me.